Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer-engineer. Happy Thursday, May 4th, 2023. May the 4th be with you. It is Star Wars Day.
And also with you.
Thank you very much. Wouldn't it be fantastic if you, I'm sure there are some pastors, some priests or whatever, some cool priests. Nothing better than a cool priest, right? And like instead of starting the service with peace be with you, he just simply says, may the fourth be with you. And the congregation says, and also with you.
See, I'm sure it has happened.
I'm sure it's happened. I enjoy a pastor, a priest, a religious leader with a sense of humor because that makes things cooler. In my opinion, it's going to be warmer today in terms of weather. That's good news. 7 minutes past the hour of 10 o'clock. Here's your weather forecast. A couple of things you need to know. By the way, coming up in about 5 minutes, a little bit more, just after the 10:15 break, we have Kira Sabin checking in with us as per usual every other Thursday. Subject today, come on, get happy. But how? Great topic. Simple topic, but difficult sometimes, right? Sometimes we're going about our lives. We got things at work, got things in the family. And we just don't feel happy. Sometimes you have a good job, good paying job, but yet you don't feel happy. Sometimes you're struggling just to buy food and to pay rent. Don't feel happy. Kira Sabin will be here to talk us through, despite our circumstances, how we can find happiness. Looking forward to that. Here's your weather forecast across the state of Wisconsin today. Mostly sunny in Richland Center, WRCE News from the center. 75 degrees in the RC today. Partly cloudy, a chance of showers and thunderstorms tonight, a low of 47. Tomorrow, a chance of storms and rain continues. A high of 72 in the RC tomorrow. Up in Wausau, WXCO, Bull Falls Radioland, chance of showers and thunderstorms today. A high of 67. Tonight, a low of 42 and showers and thunderstorms continue. Tomorrow, a chance for showers and a high of 60 in Wausau. Over in Amory, WLAK, Lake Air Radioland, sunny skies this morning. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 42. Tomorrow, a 30% chance of a shower and a high near 63 in Amory, Wisconsin. What you need to know today, headlines for you. The suspect in the deadly shooting in Atlanta medical facility was arrested last night inside a gated condominium complex in Cobb County, about 11 miles from the scene. One person killed, four others injured, three critical, after a man became agitated during a visit to the Northside Medical Midtown facility and opened fire. He was accompanied by his mother, who was not injured. Police have identified the suspect as a 24-year-old former Coast Guardsman who was discharged from active duty in January of this year. The Federal Reserve announced its 10th straight interest rate hike yesterday as it aggressively attempts to lower inflation. The Fed raised its benchmark rate by another quarter of a point and hinted a pause could come as soon as next month. Fed Chair Jerome Powell emphasized that U.S. banking conditions have improved since early March, when the country saw some of the biggest bank failures since 2008. But the Fed expects that as a result of the banking system turmoil, credit will continue to tighten for households and businesses, which could further slow the economy. Russia overnight unleashed its most intensive attacks on Ukraine in more than a year, according to Kyiv's military chief. Over the past several days, missiles and drones have hit the region, killing 23 people yesterday alone in the southern city of Kherson and its surrounding villages. The powerful United Auto Workers is holding off on endorsing President Joe Biden's reelection bid, citing concerns over his policies that would encourage a transition to electric vehicles, according to a memo from the union. The UAW has more than 400,000 members, and Biden has touted its support in the past. Last year, he called American auto workers, quote, the most skilled auto workers in the world, unquote. The group's membership is mostly concentrated in Michigan, a presidential battleground state. Biden has endorsed policies meant to significantly transition the nation's vehicles from gasoline to electric, including rules from the EPA that would ensure 2/3 of cars sold in the U.S. are electric by 2032. And here's this, it's more than a weird, it's a troubling story. Three McDonald's franchises in Kentucky are facing hefty fines for violating child labor laws. The penalties, exceeding more than $200,000 combined, come from two 10-year-old children, 10 years old, found working at a Louisville McDonald's restaurant, sometimes until 2 a.m., according to an investigation by the U.S. Department of Labor. The agency said that the three franchises that own more than 60 McDonald's locations in Kentucky, Indiana, Maryland, and Ohio employed 305 children to work more than the legally permitted hours and perform tasks prohibited by law for young workers. According to a spokesperson for McDonald's, they condemned the alleged underage employment, saying the reports are, quote, unacceptable, deeply troubling, and run afoul of the high expectations upheld by a fast food chain. 10 years old.
How do you even hire 10-year-olds?
You can't, legally.
Yeah, but I mean, they don't apply, do they? Does a 10-year-old walk in and be like, I want to work at McDonald's? And you're like, great, let's stick you in the deep fryer.
Right, I mean, really? I mean, no. I mean, I've been a general manager for a sports pub. I've run coffee shops. I worked at Starbucks. I don't recall any 10-year-olds applying. Here's an idea. Let's make legal immigration better to hire those folks. We wouldn't want to do that. Okay, time to get happy. Moving on. Kira Sabin, she's going to bring us some happiness and how to get there. Stay with us. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 10:15. That is the incomparable Partridge Family. I've always said I'm kind of the Reuben Kincaid, just sitting back in the room going, hey, those guys are good. That's my role for so many, many things. Although someone else has a much more important role, she is going to help us get happy or find ways to take steps to get happy. It is our friend, our ongoing contributor here at Civic Media on the Todd Allball Show, a positivity psychologist practitioner, a life coach at Relationship Quotient, and troop leader of love. That is our friend, Kira Sabin. Kira, how the heck are you?
I'm good, Todd. How are you?
Better now that you're here, my friend.
Oh, I feel that. I feel that.
I know, right?
I feel like the ridiculousness is really going to happen today. The sun is out.
Right.
Beautiful here in Madison.
It is. Good thing.
And I am ready to teach about how to get happy.
Timely indeed. And I don't mean to start off on a low note, but I think it's just important to remember or to recognize. Last hour, last story, we talked about, apparently there was, according to police reports up there, La Crosse, that of a Turbo University student died by suicide yesterday, a tragedy there. Fortunately, it happened in front of a middle school in La Crosse. But I say just you know, it's a tragedy. Our thoughts and prayers are with that family and those folks in La Crosse. But I think it's just a good reminder that the sun is out. And you think that, oh, everybody's got to be happy. Everything's got to be great. And it's just a reminder, as our colleague here, Luke Mathers, is fond of saying, you never know what anybody else is dealing with, on everybody you encounter. So just be kind to people. Because when it looks sunny outside and we think everything is great, there are all of us in some way, but so many of us are struggling and on the verge of making that, you know, terrible choice. And some people are dealing with mental illness issues. So I think this is timely indeed, because right or wrong, Kira, once we can find self-happiness, I think that's a key to improving all of our mental health.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, and it's really, I think, and I'm just going to say, you know, what I'm observing, because this is what I spend my day looking at, coaching about, researching, we are struggling on a whole as a country right now. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we're still coming out of COVID, and that isolation and that burnout from it is very real. And a lot of us are wondering why we're not kind of bouncing back, right? Mm-hmm. Why we're not, you know, now that everything is seemingly open and things are calm, you know, why are we still feeling alone or burned out? And the thing is that that's a lot because we really don't understand what happiness is and how to get it. We've been told a lot of myths and misconceptions.
And before we get into the notes here, some really good things about misconceptions. If I could just get a freelance for a second and go down a tangent. What is it, Kira, in your opinion, in your professional opinion, you've dealt with so many people, helped so many people, including me over the years. But why is it that, as I said last hour, kind of, you know, introducing you, I said, there are people out there that are wealthy, that are doing very well financially. They have nice cars, nice houses, but yet they're not happy. There are people who are struggling to pay rent this month or to keep food on the table, and they're not happy. I don't think that happiness is necessarily tied to material things or a station in life. This unhappiness is something that affects all of us.
Absolutely. And we now live in a world or a society where every day we go online and we compare ourselves to others.
Right.
Right? I think you and I talked about this recently. Comparison is the thief of joy. And that didn't exist 20 or 30 years ago. You know, you saw people on TV or maybe a magazine or newspaper, but everybody now, like if you think that you're good at something, all you have to do is Google and you'll find 10 people or 100 people or 1,000 people better at you. We don't,
Or you think they are.
Yes, right. And right, exactly. I mean, there's a gift and a curse of technology. And I feel that this constant comparison on social media, this constant like, oh, look at all these people have this in their life and I don't. And once again, as you said, we have no idea what people's lives are really like. Yeah. I have to tell my clients and my single clients, especially all the time, we have no idea if people's relationships are working or healthy or functioning. So, you know, we just make kind of assumptions, but I think that every single person I know is struggling on some level right now. Every single person.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we haven't given people the tools to get out of it. But that's exactly why you and I are talking today.
That's why we're here. So let's start off. What are some of the misconceptions or myths that we believe about happiness?
First of all, that happiness is a destination, because it's not. There is no place that you arrive and then all of a sudden you are happy forever, right? Like there's some kind of belief that as kids we were told, like, you know, if you get married and then you get a really good job, you know, with benefits, and then if you do this or you get a nicer house, that like at that time you will then be happy. That doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. There is not one thing in particular that will make you happy.
But why do we think that? I mean, like why I get that in my head. Like if I could just do this, if I could just get this happen in my life, I'll be happy then. Is it like watching too many Disney movies and everything ends happily ever after? Or why do we get that in our mind?
I think we didn't really understand like the science and the research. It's so interesting. I love being in the world that I'm in because there is new information, new research every single day. They did not even study children. They studied animals before they studied the psychology of children. They didn't start until right around the time you and I were born, Todd.
Right.
So like, this is like, we're still like figuring out humans and how we work. So it's been so exciting to understand this. And it's been so upsetting that most of the people don't know this stuff, right? Like, so I went and got my certificate in positive psychology about 4 or 5 years ago now. And I remember every time that I was sitting there, I was like, what? Wait, what? Wait, we know what? And you know, and everybody in that class with me, people who were professors, people were superintendents of their school, we all just sat there and went, wait, we have this information now. How come this is just not out to the masses? And right. So that's why I spend my days talking every day about love and relationships, because those are just another way to add happiness to our life, right? So, but that ultimately, our work is an inside job.
So our first misconception is that happiness is a destination. It's not. What's another one?
It's not a destination. There's no way to be happy all the time. It doesn't exist. Yeah. Life is going to show up. I mean, you know, Todd, I turned 50 this year. You're already in your 50s. We have, you know, parents who are getting older. You know, sometimes after your 40s, you want to do a job switch or a job. And, you know, things happen.
Right.
Empty nesting. All of these. It doesn't matter if every day we wake up and like kind of force our eyes shut and say, I'll be happy today. There's just no way to be happy all the time. Right. The idea instead is to be able to come back to those moments of joy, be able to mm-hmm. be present and have enough support in your life to, when bad things happen, to come back and find the joy in those moments. But you can't be happy all the time because life doesn't really allow that for us.
Life happens.
It sure does.
It's just the way it is.
It sure does.
Number three.
And then, what I just kind of hinted to a minute ago, no one else can actually make us happy. Mm. And I think that that's something that we do learn from Disney, right? That once we find the love of our life, our soulmate or the one, all of a sudden we'll live happily ever after. And that is total BS, Todd. Total BS. I can't say it any better than that. That is nothing. First of all, no one else can make you happy, yeah. right? Or do things to make you happy. We have to be able to do it ourselves. And relationships can support that and complement that, but it's still up to you. And if you're not happy, whether you're in the relationship that you're in or the job that you're in, then that doesn't change unless you change something.
I think that's so good because, you know, I'll use myself as an example. I think other people share this. You know, when you're searching for someone to date, or when you're on a date or something, endorphins or whatever the chemical is in your brain or whatever, you know, that starts going. And that's just, it just feels like a shot of something, right? It just feels like, right. Oh, I mean, that's just, and you think if I only find the right one, that will continue every day. And I want more of that. I want to feel like that. That has to be happiness, right? And that just, that I mistake that feeling and think that if I could just have that every day, that that's there.
So, couple of things. Number one, I've been saying lately on my podcast, you know, if you think the beginning of the relationship is the best part of the relationship, mm-hmm. you're doing relationships wrong. Mm-hmm. Right? Because we do. A lot of us feel that, like, that excitement, what I call a chemical cocktail of infatuation.
Oh, chemical cocktail of infatuation.
Yes. Yes.
Boy, I've drank a few of those.
And by the way, when we become infatuated with a new person, it mm-hmm. triggers in our brain like cocaine. I'm not even joking. You can look that up.
Never Google done that, but I'll take your word for it. Yeah.
Right. But no, that's how exciting / addicting it can feel, and why it can be really, you know, confusing when it doesn't work out or right. when things change. But ultimately, that's just the first stage of relationships. I need to come in and do the stages of relationships at some point.
Absolutely.
But a lot of us think that's what love is, and it actually isn't. That is just our oxytocin in our body trying to connect, trying to just create intimacy with another person. Our bodies naturally do that, but that also fades away as you get to know that person. It's part, and I say that it's really good for it to fade away, or we would never get anything done in society. We all just be infatuated with each other all the time. We probably wouldn't even have the wheel, right? Like, everybody would just be in love.
Have the wheel.
You know, would we have fire? I don't know. But if we all lived in that state of what we feel sometimes that first 6 months or a year, like, we would get nothing accomplished as a society.
Yeah, you're probably right. But we'd be having a lot of fun, but nothing would get accomplished.
That sounds exhausting to me. I don't know. That sounds exhausting.
Yeah, you know. I want to tease this now because only got about a minute and a half left before I have to take a break. But let's tease a little bit on how do we get happy then? So we've talked about what we mistake as happiness, misconceptions. How do we get happy, Kira?
Well, there's actually an amazing, well-researched model out there that I'm going to be sharing with you today. It's by a guy named Dr. Martin Seligman, and it actually started in 1998. So, I mean, we were already at high school for years, right? Like, all of this information is newer information.
So they found happiness after we were out of high school? Go figure.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Hey, it's the
right?
year I was born, so that's why.
Oh, geez.
Oh, my gosh.
It was the year that Zomers was born.
That upset me, but okay.
That did not make us happy.
But what I love about what's called now positive psychology, and that's what Dr. Martin Seligman created, was this idea of shifting the focus from mental illness to what's good and positive in life. Right.
Like
so instead of just looking, what are we deficient in, but also looking at what are our strengths?
Right.
You know, what can we do to feel good on a daily basis? And that's the thing we've been kind of trying to lift people up from the dark for such a long time. We forgot to help them also accept and love exactly who they are as they are. And that constant need of feeling like you have to be working on yourself, once again, is also exhausting and can lead to depression.
Kira Sabin, positivity psychiatrist, joins us this morning. We're going to continue on steps to get happy. Stay with us on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We'll make you happy.
Come on now, get happy. Everybody be happy. Let's listen a little bit. Here we go.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry. Be happy.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Little Bobby McPherson. Don't worry. McPherson, sorry. McPherson. Don't worry, be happy. I only worked in radio when the song came out. What was that? Let me guess, Mr. Zomers. Like, do this. 1992.
I'm going to make a different guess. I'm going to say 89.
Really? All right. That early. Mr. Zomers?
88.
Ah!
Oh, Price is Right rules. We both lose.
Right?
But I would be closer.
You would be closer. That was the year I graduated high school. It came out. Oh, I remember. Yeah. I just remember listening to it when I helped drive my grandparents to Florida. And that was like the number one song in America. And it was all over the radio.
Oh, it was everywhere. And I heard that Bobby McFerrin is actually an amazing concert because he does all of this different stuff with his mouth and his body. Like he plays his body like an instrument.
Oh,
and I mean, it's supposed to be really amazing.
That'd be something to see. No, it's a great song. Great. It still is a great song. Talking to Kira Sabin this morning, as per usual, on every other Thursday. We appreciate her being part of the Civic Media and Todd Allball family. She is a positivity psychologist, practitioner, life coach at Relationship Quotient, and we like to say the troop leader of love. Talking this morning about how do you get happy? Come on, get happy, but how? One of my favorite people, had a chance to interview him a couple of times, former leader of the University of Wisconsin marching band.
Ooh, Mike Leckrone.
Mike Leckrone went to his last spring band concert now, what, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, before COVID. And you know, he'd been there for 50 years. A legend, Mike Leckrone.
Wow.
And he and his wife were extraordinarily close. She never saw her a lot, but she was very supportive of the band and the program. And she'd passed away, I believe, a couple of years before his last concert. And, you know, obviously been partners for 50 years or more. I mean, very, very difficult. But he said in his last concert, he took time and said, you know, I've gone through a lot in my life. And having lost my wife was extraordinarily difficult. And I tell these kids for the last 50 years, we're performers, we're entertainers, we're ambassadors of the band. But I always tell them that, you know what? Life isn't always going to be a bowl of cherries. And some days we're going to march and it's going to be crappy out and rain out. And in life, you're going to go through tough times. And the thing that I want you all to remember is to take the moments of happiness. And that's what his final concert was entitled, Moments of Happiness. Not that every day is going to be happy, but hold on to those moments of happiness. And I just always have loved that. I've remembered it ever since he said that. Kira, talk about moments of happiness, moments of joy for a minute.
Absolutely. I have a good friend. His name is Rob Mack. He wrote a great book called Happiness from the Inside Out. And he was the one who first introduced positive psychology to me. And I was just like, when I remember when he told me that if you have $20 in your bank account, you have more than 80% of the population in the world.
Yeah.
And that was such a great reminder because we get really caught up in getting things and, you know, looking good and everything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's just like, if you have $20 in the bank, you have more than 80% of this population has mm-hmm. in the world. And I was like, mind blown. And it was just such a great perspective. But one of his concepts that I think is really great is just the fact that we learn to be present in our lives. I'm going to talk about that in a second. Mm. We surround ourselves with great people, and we have to notice the moments of joy.
Yeah.
And those kind of moments of joy that connect together become happiness. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. there's still going to be pain. There's still going to be anger. There's still going to be sadness, but you find the moments of joy, and we have to really be in our lives to even notice them.
Yeah. 100%. That's so good, Kira, and so important to remember. Goes along with what Michael Lacrona said, what your friend said, what you just said, is that you weave together those moments of joy, those moments of happiness, and that, you're right, that becomes happiness overall. Talking before the break, so how do we get happy, Kira Sabin?
Right. How do we find those moments of joy? Mm-hmm. So there's a great model that Martin Seligman created and has become kind of the standard in positive psychology. And it's called the PERMA model. And it's five different, they did a ton of research on how do we thrive? Mm-hmm. How do we flourish? So not only just how do we survive, but how do we thrive as people? And what do we need to do to feel good on a daily basis? And the PERMA model came from that. And the first one, which is really, really simple, is just the P is for positive emotions. Now, I think that I've told you this before, Todd, our brain naturally goes to the negative. Mm-hmm. It is constantly scanning for things that are unsafe, things that might hurt us. It's just part of the way that our brain works. So we actually have to actively seek out positive things so that we can kind of balance that out, because our brain just naturally goes to the negative.
Is that, you think that's just a DNA thing that's built into us by Mother Nature, God, whatever your beliefs are? Of just, I mean, you think about animals in the woods, right? I mean, they, as soon as they hear a human being, that's in their instinct to run away from that. That's a protective thing. Is it kind of the same thing with humans, do you think?
Absolutely. So in our amygdala, don't be impressed by all the big words here. In our amygdala, which is kind of what's called the reptilian part of our brain. Mm. It's sometimes called the lizard brain. And that is kind of our most, that is where fear is. That is where maybe you've heard fight or flight or freeze. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is where our reaction is. And that has not evolved as much as other parts of our brain. So a lot of times we can get a scary text or email and our brain fires like there's a tiger in the room. Mm. But there is not a tiger in the room. It's just a text or an email.
Right?
So our brain naturally goes to that place. So that's why we have to be really aware of the positive moments or add positive things in our lives, because our brain's just going to naturally do that. Mm. And it's part of survival. And it's good that it does, but we do have to hack it on some level and add in the positive, or it just feels like everything's unsafe.
Anything else you want to hit on positive emotions, or go on to the next one?
Absolutely. So here's some ways to build that positive emotion. You know what it is. We've talked about it 1,000 times. Gratitude.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just creating a gratitude journal or a list every day of 3 to 5 things helps us remember what good did happen, right? Because life is hard enough that we can sometimes just slog through our days and just nothing's good. And, you know, I'm just going to do the same things every single day. If we don't ever just stop and, you know, what they like to say, smell the roses, or mm-hmm. stop and be aware of what is working, what is good, we don't ever notice the positive things. So yeah. Gratitude is a huge part about positive emotions. Also listening to like uplifting music that you love, and then spending time with people you care about. Those are 3 ways to build more positive emotions in our life.
That's pretty much the recipe right there for my happiness. I mean, if I was going to put, right? You know, I mean, being thankful for what I have, I love listening to, you know, the music that I listen to. It always makes me feel better and uplifting. And whether it's with, you know, quite frankly, someone like you or my sister or, you know, my family, my mom, my nieces, my friend Kurt and Florcy, my godsons. I mean, just spending, around time with people that I love and care about, it just makes me happier.
Absolutely. And, you know, none of this stuff is like groundbreaking, right? You don't listen and go, oh, wow. But If you kind of at the end of the day are feeling like, oh, this was a rough day, or it's been really rough lately, you know, sit down, put on some music that you love.
Right.
Call your friend up you haven't talked to in a while. Mm-hmm. You know, sit down and kind of just write down things that are good. I encourage people to do something called a gratitude jar, which is every time that you have a great moment or something wonderful happened, you write it down, you put it in the jar, and at the end of the year, you actually go through it and look at all the good things that happened that year. And it just kind of helps you bring in the new year on a positive note. And it's just a reminder that even if the days are hard or right now you're going through a really tough moment, that it won't last forever. Mm-hmm. And good things did happen.
I also think a good indicator whether you have good friends or not, or the people you want to spend more time with. I mean, my friend Joe Berkel lives out in Colorado now with his lovely and talented fiance, Rachel. I'm going to their wedding later on this summer. You know, Joe and I don't talk a whole lot because we're just separated. We're both busy. But we'll kind of set time aside and say, hey, we're going to take a half an hour and catch up, you know, every 2-3 months. And when I get off the phone call, I feel like my emotional jar is more full. And I'm like, my God, he just makes me feel better for talking to him and being my friend. And I think that's just a great indicator that that's somebody in our lives that you want to spend time with. If you're spending time with people that you get off the phone or you leave them and you feel, I just feel drained and like down.
Absolutely.
It's like, don't spend time with that person, right?
Yeah. That's called an emotional vampire in my world. That's one of the things they're called.
Emotional vampire. I love that.
Like they drain you of all your happiness and that's hard. But if we have friendships, and I'm gonna say it, and I'm actually gonna say it in just a minute, the quality of our friendships and relationships absolutely matters.
Yeah.
You might be like, I have a lot of friends, but if none of them are giving you that exact feeling that you just talked about, Todd, which was kind of being seen and heard, kind of emotionally filled up. Yeah. You know, being able to be respected and not just like a sounding board for all of their latest, you know, drama. Mm-hmm. That's really important to have people who are lifting you up, not just bringing you down with them.
Yeah. No, and I shouldn't have gone down. I should have started naming people because my friends. Well, I didn't name. I mean, my friend Alex down in Dallas. I mean, you know, Alex and Kristen. I mean, there's all kinds. The point is that I think sometimes it's like, oh, you have to be with your friends all the time, or they're not going to like you anymore, or whatever. And I think some of the coolest friends, some of the greatest relationships, are those that you can go amount of times because you're just both busy or separated by distance. But when you do pick up the phone, when you do spend time, it's like. Like that, and everything's right back like you saw him yesterday. My friend Carrie Anderson, I've known since high school. You know, I mean, go down the list. I mean, these are people that are fantastic people that you know that's an actual friendship.
Absolutely. And I just think that looks different for everybody.
Right.
Right? Like, and I'm so non-judgy about like how you find your happiness. You know, like, listen, if you want to listen to Guns N' Roses while I listen to like Enya over here, I don't give a, you know, I don't care.
Nice stop. Nice stop.
I'm good at
yes,
it.
Thank you.
That's really good.
I don't care whatsoever. It's about you and what makes you happy, what lifts you up.
So engagement, the next one, I believe.
Yeah, and that's not like being engaged to somebody. It's actually about being present in our life. Now, what do I mean by that? It's about when you are with somebody, getting off of your phone, turning off the TV or your computer or your tablet, and actually being present in the conversation, you know, asking them questions, and engaging in our lives and activities. And one of the coolest things that they found about engagement is something called flow. Have you ever heard of flow, Todd?
I have not.
Aaron?
Yes, flow.
Yeah. Yes.
I've heard of it as like the state where you are just engaged enough that you're not bored, but not so engaged that you're frustrated.
So the flow that I'm talking about is that idea that something you love so much, it's like time flies, right? You didn't realize 2 or 3 hours just went by when you were doing it. Maybe that's spending time with a friend. Maybe it's doing a puzzle. Maybe it's working on a project like for your woodworker. Mm-hmm. But flow is this state that we get into when we're doing things we love. Mm-hmm. And that actually helps us be engaged and present with the thing or the person. And it's something that they've noticed is really helps people succeed, mm-hmm. and just overall well-being, because they're in this flow state of just working on things that they're passionate about and love, and time flies.
Yeah.
When you're having fun.
Sure. Absolutely. It certainly does.
And ways to increase engagement. So it's like participate in activities that you really love where you lose track of time. You know, practice living in the moment, even during the daily activities or mundane tasks. Mm-hmm. Spending time in nature, like you said, watching and listening, observing what happens around you. And then another one that I work with my people on is finding what's called your character strengths. We all have things that we are just more naturally strong at than other things. And a lot of times, if we don't know them, we're not doing them. Life feels easier when we're doing things we're good at. That doesn't mean we shouldn't try things that we're not good at, but sometimes we're kind of, you know, paddling up the creek.
All right.
And we don't have to be.
Back with more Kira after this. This is the Todd Allball Show on Civic Media.
Be happy.
Already here.
Were you talking that entire time? Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 10:50. That's 10 minutes before the hour of 11 o'clock. 10 minutes before As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Matinere. Tune in. We don't know what it is, but Kristen was teasing us yesterday. A major announcement on As Goes Wisconsin at 11:30 today.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, big announcement. So we don't know what it is. We don't. I mean, maybe she landed a big guest. Maybe Julie Louis-Dreyfus. Maybe stopping by Waukesha at the As Goes Wisconsin studios. We don't know.
That'd be awesome.
Wouldn't it be great? Julie Louis-Dreyfus retweeted and is now in like a Twitter relationship with my colleague, Kristen Bry, host of As Goes Wisconsin. I'm very jealous. But we'll see. 11:30 this morning, As Goes Wisconsin. Tune in today. Looking forward to that. So, Kira, I was doing a little a personal exposing there of my feelings and my emotions to Kira over the break, and saying things that prevent me from being happy is apprehension. And last thing I heard was, I've got answers to that. And then Aaron goes, we have 10 seconds, and we come back on, I hear Kira's still talking. So did you?
No, all I said was, no, because, so I was not talking.
Okay.
I was not talking to myself. I'm not going to say that doesn't regularly happen. As my dad used to say, when I said, Dad, are you talking to yourself? He's like, best conversation I had all day. So,
oh, Joe, I love him.
Oh, Joe. So, but no, I was not. I just, all of a sudden your theme song came on and I was like, oh gosh, are we there already?
Well, we're here already.
For the end. Yeah. That's the only thing I was realizing.
So we got three left here and we got about 7 minutes, 6.5 minutes or so.
I'm going to rock it out.
All right. We're talking about the PERMA model, things that kind of walk us through to get us to happiness. Kira Sabin is our guest this half hour, this hour, actually. Next item on the PERMA model, Ms. Kira, if you'd be so kind.
Yeah, absolutely. R is for positive relationships, and not just about romantic relationships, but all of our relationships. So partners, friends, family members, colleagues, bosses, mentors, community at large. The more we feel supported, loved, and valued by others, the happier that we are. Mm. And that feeling of belonging and connecting is very much built into our DNA. Because it used to be that if you were ostracized from kind of your tribe or community, you probably wouldn't make it in the wilderness alone. Mm. So that was the worst thing that could happen. And our brain still really starts to alert when we feel ostracized or not connected to people. And they've actually shown that seniors, it's a huge critical role in preventing cognitive decline among seniors, is that they need to be connected, or otherwise that can lead to dementia and just a lot of cognitive issues.
Yeah, I think for all of us, but like you say, particularly for seniors, sometimes people retire from a job when they're around people all the time. And then after retirement, I think they struggle to connect, to find other people just to be around, just to have that back and forth, that conversation.
Well, I even think, Todd, that it's hard to make friends
right.
over a certain age, right?
Yeah.
I think it's so kind of easy because we're just surrounded by people when we're young. And when you're older, you have to really make an effort. Mm-hmm. And that's something I've had to realize, that if I'm not willing to keep things kind of up or going, those friendships aren't just necessarily going to be around. So, you know, that's something that I've had to work on the last couple of years, especially since COVID. But I really feel lucky. I talk to your sister and Tammy Sardison literally daily. And that's been really healing for me.
That's fantastic. Next item, meaning.
Meaning. Just that meaning or purpose in life. And it's different for everybody. And it could be maybe your profession. It can be like a social or political cause. It can be a creative endeavor. And that can also be your religion or spirituality. Mm-hmm. But it's the idea of having something bigger than your day-to-day that you're working on or that you believe in. To give yourself a reason to wake up in the morning and be excited and a little bit happier.
Yeah. I think that's so important. And a lot of people will volunteer at like a food pantry or something in their community, or the thrift shop, whatever. You're interacting with people. You're helping someone out. And I've always been a person that I'm driven. I'm happiest when other people are happy. That's weird for some people, but I'm that kind of a person. So if I have a mission, if I have something I'm doing to making others happy, I feel better.
Absolutely. I mean, they have proven again and again and again that things like random acts of kindness are a huge part of a way to get happier. Because when we are doing something for others or giving without expecting to receive anything, it lights us up. It lights up parts of our brain. And just how actually giving gifts is much more rewarding than getting gifts. I mean, things like that, they say it over and over and over. Really showing up for others, helping to support people in our lives, having things that we believe in. These are all really important to feel good on a day-to-day basis.
Final letter in the PERMA model.
Is accomplishment. And that's just achievement or mastery or competence. And that can be, you know, reaching towards goals, you know, working towards, you know, projects that you love to do. It just creates a sense of pride and well-being, which is important in life and thriving. So that can be even reflecting on your past successes, looking for creative ways to celebrate. We don't celebrate our achievements much in our society, right? We just are already working towards the next one.
Yeah.
So celebration is a huge part of it, of stopping and going, man, there was a time where I would have killed to be where I'm at now, you know? When was the last time I celebrated the hard work that I've done and, you know, the time and the energy that I've put into my goals or accomplishing things and just really celebrating that?
I also think other cultures, you know, I've been to Central America a lot. Other cultures really celebrate education, like kindergarten graduation, eighth grade graduation. I mean, those are big things that they celebrate, that wow, you've achieved this, and lift people up. I think that's so cool. We don't do that enough here, in my opinion.
I think that a lot of other cultures have a lot more celebrations than we sometimes do. Mm-hmm. You know, the melting pot of America has brought tons of cultures together, but I think we've maybe lost some of the, you know, those thousand-year-old celebrations that have been around. And, you know, I love, like, when we lived in Mexico, they have, like, a holiday every other day.
Right.
It's somebody's, you know, special birthday, or it's some historical thing that happened. And they're all celebrating. It's amazing.
Kira, you are amazing. We appreciate you, as always, my friend. You've given us great ways to be happy. About 30 seconds left. I'll give you the last word on happiness.
Find one thing that I said today and add it in your life this week, right? Whether it's listening to music, whether it's reaching out to your friend, whether it's finding something where you can lose yourself in the moment, there are ways that you can be happier if you just start adding some of these very small things.
Kira, you make me happy, my friend. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Kira Sabin, where can we find you quickly?
Relationship-quotient.com and on Instagram and everywhere else.
Kira Sabin, S-A-B-I-N. You're fantastic. We'll see you soon, my friend. Stay tuned. Kristen Bry is next with As Goes Wisconsin. Big announcement at 11:30. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks to everyone who joined us today. Until then, this is Todd Allbaugh on Civic Media. Say keep banging your drum.
Banging on your drum.